Good evening and welcome to episode one of Your Vegan Life, presented by Vegan Frothers and Sindian Natural Food Products. I'm your host, Harry Bowman, and Your Vegan Life continues the theme from the last 4 years of the Vegan Hour with vegan guests who will inspire you with their journey of compassion. But this year, it's going to be in a much more concise time frame. So to get us rolling, to get the first episode of 2020 happening, I have Craig from Vitality Nutrition joining me. Welcome, Craig. Thank you for being on the first episode.
Good evening, Harry. Great to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Let's bring you up to so I can see you a bit clearer there. Now, tonight we're going to be talking about your vegan journey, or I'm going to be asking you about your vegan journey and finding out about Vitality Nutrition. And we're going to see maybe if we can do this in a 20 or 30 minute time frame rather than the old Vegan Hour days where we padded it out for an hour. So we'll keep it snackable tonight. I like it. That's great. Thank you. So let's start off with, I believe your vegan journey began 10 years ago or more than 10 years ago. So can you tell us about how you became vegan?
I guess one of the funny memories that I have that actually my wife reminds me that in the early days when we were dating, I had told her that if she was a vegetarian, then I wouldn't have been able to be in a relationship with her because I just couldn't abide that kind of tomfoolery.
Wow. So the tomfoolery, you call it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
So now the tables have turned, and I've gone fully down the rabbit hole of a plant-based lifestyle and a vegan lifestyle, and there's been no turning back. So I guess after those crazy times in my youth when I was oblivious to the reality of our food supply system, I ventured over to London for a couple of years with my wife, my girlfriend at the time.
Yeah.
And I guess I became by default a vegetarian in London because the meat that was available was either too expensive or very poor quality. So I was kind of put into this predicament where, I couldn't really afford to indulge in high quality meat. So I just sort of gave it up.
Did this apply to your wife as well? Was she finding the same thing?
We've been on, Anna had actually been a vegetarian on and off throughout her teen years, etc. So she was, we both sort of went on this journey together and have continued to a certain degree. She's she's 99% of the way and eats we all eat it at home 100% vegan, obviously, but that's probably one of the things that's made this journey easiest is the fact that I've had support from my partner in crime. And we've gone down this. We've both had our eyes opened and had this ethical sort of enlightenment at the same stage, luckily. And so we've been able to. There's been no aggravation of the relationship in that sense. But
It can make a big difference, kind of, when you've got the support.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So you've got now your friend. I believe your friend Mark introduced you to a documentary called Meet Your Meat.
That's right. Yeah. So across the pond, when I was in London, across the pond, Mark was living in Amsterdam, and he actually, after my time in London finished up, I moved across to continue my working holiday in Europe, as a lot of young Aussies do. And my friend Mark put me up in his attic for a few months while we got settled, and Amsterdam was a real turning point. I guess it's a turning point for a lot of people for various reasons, but it was an interesting time and chapter in my life when I was sort of steered into vegetarian by my friends Mark and Gladys, who are now my business partners in Vitality, 10 years on, and they introduced me to various, you know, documentaries to sort of show me the truth behind our food supply, which was quite shocking to someone who's, you know, basically been wearing blinkers their entire life and just swallowed.
So it really was quite a shock. You actually weren't very much aware of what was actually happening to the animals prior to that.
Yeah, I guess not. Or maybe it was just it was just pushed down where I wasn't acknowledging it, but it just sort of brought to light the real. I mean, all the images of farming that you see on products it never looks as gruesome as the reality is.
Yeah.
So I guess I accepted that the food that I was eating came from these happy farms, etc. And it really never crossed my horizons to look deeper into it than that until my friends sort of tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hey, you should check this out and see, you know, see how that resonates with you." And it really did hit a pain point for me. So then began my sort of awkward journey through vegetarianism, and, you know, taking up yoga and meditation and all these hipster things that I was being introduced to whilst I was living life in Amsterdam. And
I find it interesting, I just want to interrupt you there, I find it interesting that you went vegetarian but not vegan at that stage.
Yeah, and I don't know why that was.
It was just not, it was just not considered maybe an issue with the dairy or that. It just
yeah, I mean, I guess maybe that the documentaries that I watched perhaps didn't really delve into that, and in fact I ended up as a pescatarian after battling with vegetarianism for battling after I guess it was a battle, but yeah,
such a battle.
Sort of but it's funny because my time as a vegetarian was very up and down, but there came a point then where I read a couple of tomes and was able to go completely cold turkey vegan without a hint of remorse
as I like to call it, cold tofurkey.
Cold tofurkey, yeah, exactly, yeah. So I guess the real clincher, and actually I haven't seen the movie that has recently been made about this, but Jonathan Safran Foer wrote a book called Eating Animals, is a crazy graphic expose on all the ills of the modern factory farm.
Right.
And it was heart-wrenching for me. And
any idea how long ago that came out? Was that a while ago?
I read it in 2010.
Okay. So it's at least a decade ago. Yeah.
Yeah, around a decade ago. Funnily enough, I was actually...
Sorry, go on.
Sorry. I was in the library. I borrowed the book from my library, but I was... do you know the Australian journalist John Safran? You're familiar with?
No.
He was in the Race Around the World series. Anyway, I thought he's a funny Australian journalist, and I thought, oh, there's a book by John Safran. I might take that home. Not realizing it was completely different author, and that it would have such a life changing
right.
impact on me such a short time later. So,
well, it did. It must have definitely opened your eyes to the horrors of animal agriculture and the whole industry.
Yeah, absolutely. So, from an ethical standpoint, I was completely sold. Even it touches very much on the environmental impacts.
Good.
And I believe the health impacts as well, but predominantly the ethical and environmental impacts of modern factory farming.
So you went cold tofurkey overnight.
Cold tofurkey, and Anna as well. We both jumped down the rabbit hole,
That's great. The animals, thank you.
Yeah.
how long ago was that? When that?
That was 2010. Nine and a bit years ago.
Fantastic.
Sort of December 2010.
And okay, so thinking back to then, dropping the, because you were still, prior to that, you were having dairy and you were still having fish?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So did you notice, can you tell me thinking back, the differences you noticed, once you dropped that out of your diet from a health perspective?
You know, I guess I consider myself to be generally fit and healthy. Regardless of my dietary intake, I mean, I probably shed a few pounds, but I certainly lost the taste for those products almost immediately.
Oh, good.
And didn't have any cravings or whatever.
That's interesting. Yeah, that you didn't have cravings. Do you think that was because of the whole shock of the realization of what was happening?
Yeah, potentially. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fascinating because often people say, oh, you know, it was a real struggle and all the rest. So maybe if we're slapped in the face with the brutal reality of what we're doing to animals, you sort of go, whoa, I'm not having anything more to do with this.
How could I live with myself now that I had this knowledge?
Yes.
And of course, then I decided that I had to become a militant. A militant advocate of the lifestyle and tell, you know, open everyone's eyes around me, which was probably, I think we probably all go through that stage, but
yeah. How did that go?
I don't recommend it for anyone going. it's an easy way to put your friends offside we all have our own vegan life journey to discover, maybe with, you know, subtle hints or engaging conversations when the topics are raised, but not to have our values thrust down people's throats.
So
that's my personal opinion.
It's just a lesson in how to lose friends and influenza people.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
to misquote a famous book.
Dropping more puns again.
Yeah,
Harry.
Look, that's what I'm here for. Pun Harry, just call me that.
It's the comedy hour. It's your comedy life.
That's it. Very good. So you also you read Colin T. Campbell's book, The China Study.
Yeah. So after sort of covering off the environmental and ethical arguments, some friends gave me The China Study, the Colin T. Campbell tome, and that. While not as engaging a read as Jonathan Safran Foer's book, was certainly an eye-opening read. Just looking at the health implications of eating animal proteins, and of course his successive book, you know, focused, which is called Whole, focused on, you know, the benefits of a whole food plant-based diet, and trying to eliminate those junk foods, even when you are on a vegan diet, to steer towards more whole food, nourishing foods, and not worry about not dissecting things down to the nutrient level, but just eating a wide array of whole food plants, which I think we struggle with, and I still struggle with that. But I think that's the big challenge of veganism today, is that we have to show our best vegan selves and our most healthful vegan selves. And there's such an abundance of junk vegan food on the market now, and every week, every month, there's more and more of these yummy vegan snacks appearing on mainstream supermarket shelves and health food stores, etc. They're moorish and they're delicious, and they make veganism really easy, and you can, you know, there's no more social awkwardness because you can indulge in whatever. But at the same time, I feel that one of our biggest challenges is that we need to tackle those urges and try and move towards a more whole foods based diet, so that we can really be and we can represent a healthful vegan person rather than I'm not sure if the malnourished anemic vegan stereotype still exists,
hard to be malnourished with all the processed vegan food. No, I'll reword that. Actually, we are malnourished if we're eating too much of that. We're filling up on the wrong things. But isn't it That's ironic? Right. Don't you think it's ironic that we have this abundance now of ready meals and all these things that are vegan alternatives of what already existed? But the irony to all this is that nature was already providing all along everything we needed to be vegan at any stage. You know, we didn't need to be in 2020 with all the going to the supermarket and that. We already had the ultimate fast food, which is of course fruits. You know, we already had that. We already had the vegetables. We already had the healthier grains and that. It was already there. But it's funny how it's like people go, oh, it's so easy. Even I say it, it's so easy to be vegan now. It's like, but it was easy to be vegan before.
I think we're in a fast-paced lifestyle, and people are time poor, and preparing nourishing meals can seem like a burden and a time-consuming task. But it's just something that you need to prioritize, and that's certainly where I'm inspired by the people such as Adam Guthrie.
Good old Adam.
Neighbor down here in Byron Bay.
Yeah.
I went to his plant-based cooking class a couple months ago, and
yes.
Yeah, his story is just a real eye opener.
Yes.
He was a vegetarian for 20 years, time. And he still managed to get himself in a health pickle and have a heart attack.
Had a heart attack at 39, I think he had his heart attack at.
Yeah. But then, the inspiring thing is he took that challenge and he engaged in his own health, and he adopted a whole food plant based diet, and he turned it around. And not only did he kick his medicine, but he thrived, and he managed to take on an Ironman and compete in an Ironman, which is something ridiculous that I never intend to do. But I applaud him.
Yes, definitely. And for those people that want to know more about Adam's story, I actually interviewed Adam last year on the Vegan Hour. So if you look on my YouTube channel or on any of my podcast channels, I cannot remember what episode number it is off the top of my head, but Adam Poor Guthrie form. From, hey?
Is Poor it? Form.
Yeah, I know.
You can't.
It's Adam Guthrie from I Feel Good. What I love is that you've been able to take, talking about your vegan journey, you've been able to take these values that are so ingrained in you now and put it into what you're doing with Vitality. So this is...
Yeah, exactly. So it's gone full circle, and actually my friend from Amsterdam who first introduced me to the idea of questioning where my food came from, recently relocated to the Northern Rivers of New South Wales a couple of years ago, after spending 10 years plus researching and commercializing microalgae in Europe, with the aim to bring marine phytoplankton as a whole food supplement to the market in Australia. And so just over a year ago we launched our business Vitality Nutrition, and it's a really exciting cutting edge company that I guess we're still very very young, but we have high aspirations for our this little plant that it can really fill a gap in the vegan nutrition spectrum. And that's what I'm talking about is where we get our omega-3 long chain fatty acids when we are on a vegan diet. Mm. And
is it normally an issue trying to get the long chain vegan fatty acids?
Yeah, so I mean, people as vegans, we can consume omega-3s from lots of terrestrial plants, such as chia seeds or flax seeds or hemp seeds. And these are a short chain fatty acid, which is it's an essential fatty acid as well. And we need to consume this in our diets. It's really important for a lot of our bodily functions. So make sure that you add a tablespoon of your chia seeds to your porridge in the morning. But the real quandary for vegans was these long-chain fatty acids. And what our body can convert these short-chain fatty acids, which are called ALA, your body can convert these to the long-chain form, mm-hmm. Or forms, EPA and DHA, but it does so really inefficiently. And so what we've done is we've looked at where fish and krill get their long chain fatty acid content, and of course it all comes originally from plants, and the plants it comes from are microscopic single celled plants called marine microalgae or marine phytoplankton.
Okay, I love that. Yes, see, it makes so much sense to me that when you investigate these things, as you've just said here, when people say, oh, you know, you've got to get your fish oil and whatever, you know, you've got to get it from fish. I love that when you investigate it, you go, well, hang on a second, where did the fish get it from? You know, it's like, and this is the case in a, not just in this situation, this is a case with other things where people are saying, oh, you know, you've got to eat animals to get the B12. You know, that's another one, isn't it? And it's like, well,
absolutely.
Hang on. The B12 doesn't come from the animals. It's you know, it's like, again, it's a similar situation. So it makes perfect sense in a natural world that it doesn't come from the animals, because we're not meant to be consuming animals in the first place. So it makes sense that we look behind that and we go, okay, where are the animals getting it from? Because if we're meant to be vegan, then there would be a natural source that we would
absolutely
be able to get it from.
And all nutrients, as we know, they all stem from plants. And I guess it's just because you know, veganism has been such a fringe lifestyle that we haven't thought twice about plundering our oceans in search of fish and krill, and plundering, you know, these pristine regions in the Antarctic for krill, and decimating or destroying these vital links in the marine food chain in search of these nutrients, when we can actually create a far more, or we can source a far more sustainable form of these nutrients by just going directly to the purest source, which is the plant microalgae.
Yep. Would it have been possible in previous times to have done that, to have actually just dived into the ocean?
scooped it out.
Would that have been, do you think that would have been possible, or would have had to have been like refined or processed in some form, you know? As in, you know, because you're presenting it as a powder in that. So I'm just wondering if there is, you know, if we could have done that.
The way that we process it is a very cutting edge biotech.
Keeps it.
Pardon me.
Keeps it bioavailable. I think is one of the terms, isn't it?
But I'm just referring to the facility where we actually grow it is very, you know, sci-fi biotech. It's a great big you know, because we also don't want to take this resource from the oceans, because it's such a vital link in the marine food chain. It's a food source for everything from the small zooplankton, the krill, right up to the dolphins and the whales. So it plays a major part in all aspects of the marine food web. And it's also one of our greatest warriors against climate change, in that it breathes in all the carbon dioxide and burps out oxygen. So it's actually more more of a resource against climate change than actually the rainforests that where we that we credit for, you know, providing us our oxygen.
That's fantastic.
We can't plunder that resource either. So the way that we manufacture it or the way that we grow it is in a controlled environment. And of course, our oceans are in a lot of trouble for many reasons. Not just the fish being plundered and put under pressure, but also the pressure from pollution, microplastics, and other contaminants. So the way that we can provide the purest form of this this plant is through a controlled production environment, which is what we call a photobioreactor, where it's basically a glorified greenhouse where we control the light and water and all the inputs, and we grow it in this greenhouse and dry it, and there's no processing, so it just dries as a whole food powder, and then we deliver it to our customers in a unprocessed form, unlike the fish oils the krill oils and even the algal oils that you see on the market that are heavily processed and refined and don't contain all the other valuable vitamins and minerals either.
So I love that it's sustainable. I love that it's in a non-processed form. I love that it's cruelty free, and having actually tried it, I also love it as a product because I think it went very well in my smoothies.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely no mistaking that it comes from the ocean. If you open the pack, and have a smell, you can smell that seaweed vibe.
Definitely. Definitely.
And I love that personally. I'm a big fan of my greens powders, from spirulina and chlorella, which are the freshwater cousins, I guess, to the marine phytoplankton. And they don't contain your omega-3s like marine microalgae does. But I've always enjoyed those greens powders. But as you say, it goes well in a smoothie or whatever have you as well.
So... okay, so just looking at some of the claims here, it's omega-3 EPAs, it's got antioxidants, zeaxanthin.
Yeah, so you've got carotenoids.
Carotenoids, nutritional carotenoids. And it's got various vitamins, proteins, essential nutrients. Yep.
And zeaxanthin and lutein are really interesting nutrients themselves as well, and are being lauded as really critical in eye health in particular, amongst other things. Okay. But protecting the macula and reversing even macular degeneration. And I'm reading now that they also protect against. I mean, we're all bombarded by blue light from our screens in this day and age as well. And so these carotenoids can help protect your eyes.
They can actually reverse macular degeneration.
Absolutely, yeah.
That is impressive. That is really impressive. I should say a shout out, a hello to Matt, who's watching, because he just said hello previously. So thank you for watching, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
And so I've just reading something else here that was really interesting in relation to your product, is that it says that they are long chain fatty acids. What you were saying earlier are naturally only available from microalgae. Cold pressed oils from flaxseed, hemp seed, or chia seed offer an impressive nutritional profile, their short chain fatty acids are of the GLA form. Yes, as you were saying earlier, those seed based oils do not have the same bioavailability and nutritional properties as the longer chain EPA and DHA oils. I didn't know that, and I think that is fantastic. And I think listening or watching, that is really important to know that we need that, and we should be looking at a product such as Ultana Phytoplankton, because it is the only genuine whole food, natural, sustainable, vegan alternative to fish and krill oil.
So that's the exciting thing, is that this is the only product on the market in Australia that actually offers a whole food form of these long chain fatty acids, and that can actually claim a good source of long chain fatty acids according to your Food Standards Australia and New Zealand guidelines. So
actually, I might just bring up, it's going to be a little bit hard for people to see this chart maybe, but there's a phytoplankton comparison chart which is on, I've taken it off your website. And it's actually showing on the far right panel all the green ticks. that's the Altana phytoplankton. That's all the green ticks on the right, and it's showing Deep that it has everything. It's as opposed to the others there, fish oil, krill oil, and hemp seed and spirulina, and one there that it's too small for me to read. But
I guess as this is predominantly. We're talking to a vegan audience here, mm-hmm. who aren't going to be taking fish or krill oil in any case.
Yes,
but maybe taking an algal based oil or soft gel. And I just think it's important to distinguish between the nutrients that are in an algal oil versus the nutrients that are available in our whole food powder, and the fact that it's in a whole food form that has all the other vitamins and minerals and nutrients that aid absorption. I think that's a real critical part of the equation that needs to be understood, whereas an oil is an extracted product. And as we're talking about in a whole foods, plant-based diet, which we should be steering more towards for health and vitality, you actually try and eliminate those oils.
Those oils, that's right.
From your diet, and get it from a whole food source, and that's what we're offering with Altana.
Yeah, that's absolutely spot on, Craig. So if people want to see that chart that I've just got up there, I'll remove that again. That is on the website, and there's a lot of information there as well. Before we find out where you can get it from, I just want to mention too that I've read that the benefits are. Or you might want to go through this, better digestion, more energy, mental clarity. You're mentioning reversing macular degeneration, healthier skin, faster recovery, stronger immune system. Sounds pretty good.
Covers a lot of bases, and I guess it's, the anti-inflammatory benefits that are associated with omega-3s are a big one. It's got there's also an active form of B12 in there, which is super important for us vegans as well. Yeah. So
would it be
mineral content? Pardon me.
Would it be enough B12 in there to be a daily to gift your daily minimum requirements?
It's in a whole food form. It has 2 micrograms, which is close to the adult RDI, but I still take a spray a couple of times a week. It's an insurance policy, and it's something that you don't want to mess with.
Yes, definitely.
I mean, it's the only supplement. I don't consider Altana a supplement. It's a whole food. They're basically really tiny broccolis. But I take a B12 supplement because you just don't want to mess around with that stuff.
No, that's right. That's exactly right.
Just take a sublingual spray.
Yes, very easy, very easy. And okay, so people might be curious to know where they can get the phytoplankton from. So where's the best way to
put my salesman hat on? I'll show you.
You go,
this is what the here's one I prepared earlier.
product placement. Yes,
I've got to get my studio lighting right. Okay, so this is what the box looks like.
Yeah,
it's generally sitting in your health food store, either amongst the greens powders or perhaps amongst the algal oils or even the fish oils. Okay. And we're really grateful to have the ear of GoVita when we first launched, which is Australia's largest health food chain. And they were really excited about having such a niche. New interesting product on shelves and a point of difference. So GoVita around the country stock us, or if it's not on the shelf, they can get it in for you. And we're bringing on new retailers all the time. So we have a great chain in Brisbane, in Market Organics, Great Earth down in Melbourne. Yeah, there's a whole range, and you can see see our stockists on our website, vitality.com.
Which I've linked to the Facebook page in this live stream, but I'll also put a link to the website after the stream's finished. And hello to Helen who's watching. Thank you for watching, Helen, one of my great supporters.
Hi, Helen.
It's available in both a powder and a tablet form, is that right?
Yes, so if you're not a fan of the seaweed vibes, then you can actually get it in a vegan-friendly capsule, obviously.
Yeah.
Which is just a cellulose capsule, just to if you're not into smoothies or you're just not into the taste of it, you can just pop a couple of capsules and cover your nutritional boosts to the day and get
excellent.
That boost of vitamins and minerals and those long chain omega-3s as well.
Excellent. Is there anything we haven't covered?
Oh, I was just going to mention another product placement here.
Please
but,
do.
Have you seen this month's Nourish magazine, Harry?
I haven't seen any month's Nourish magazine.
This is an incredible magazine. This is the premier plant-based lifestyle magazine.
I think I know about it.
If you haven't read it, it's amazing. Actually, Adam Guthrie contributes recipes to this each and every edition, and they're worth the price of admission alone. But it covers health, it covers food, it covers sustainability, it covers travel and fashion, and always great new product reviews. And in this month's edition, which came out last Friday,
This is the February edition, is it?
Yeah, they basically do 8 months, eight editions a year.
Okay.
And there's a fantastic
feature. Plant-based Omega from the Omega 3 from the sea. Yep, I can see that now.
That's us.
Great. Wow. Is that the facility? Is that a quick? I just saw a quick photo.
Yeah. Did you see that?
Oh. Wow, that was interesting. Yeah, I've got to get that just to check it out.
I'll get that back on screen for you.
Just bring that back on
screen. We're well over our snackable 20-minute conversation.
We are. We're well over it. We're gonna wind up shortly. Let's just go a little bit.
Get that.
No, okay. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Now it's painted a picture for me now, and a lot clearer of how it comes together. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, you can see those pictures on our website as well, and we have all the science.
Okay.
If there are any science nerds out there that want to see where we grow it, it's all on our website.
Okay, so anyone watching tonight, if they want to get in touch with you, I've linked your name into the live stream, so they can contact you directly if they've got any questions, if they want to supply the product maybe in the health food store or something like
Absolutely, that. Absolutely, yeah. Always happy to.
Or they can go to your Facebook page or your website as well. So that's awesome.
Right.
And if anyone's got any questions after the live stream's finished, you can still ask questions later. And yes, so I think we might wind up now on the first episode of Your Vegan Life for 2020. And I think it's been great listening to you and finding out about this wonderful product and your awakening, your vegan awakening.
Absolutely,
it's been fantastic. So
looking forward to the next 10 years.
Yeah, yes, it should be interesting with all the climate situation that we're coming up against now. It'll be a very intense time, I think, we're heading into now.
Yeah, but I think more and more people eyes are being opened each and every day, and
yes,
and
definitely.
It's just a matter of time before we reach critical mass, hopefully.
Definitely, well said. I think we'll go out on that note, and you can watch this episode on YouTube and on podcasts in the very near future. Thank you everyone for watching, and remember to live vegan and save lives, and I'll be back next week for... Oh, nicely. Let's do that together.
Working on that one.
You've been working on that. That is good. Good man. I didn't even ask him. He wasn't prepped. So that's excellent. Okay. And I'll be back next Monday night. Thank you for joining us. And thank you again, Craig. Good night,
Thanks,
everyone.
Harry.